Welcome, this is Dr. Rick Barrett, and today you're going to be listening to the first show on health and food allergies and sensitivities with my co-host, Narissa Oden. Narissa, are you
Yes,
there?
I'm here. Hi.
Wonderful. Welcome to everyone. We hope you enjoy today's little segment. We're going to be talking again, as I mentioned, on food allergies, what they are, what a sensitivity is, to help you to direct your life in a fashion that will benefit you and your family so that you can be healthy as possible now and into the future. So basically, we want you to experience the best health you can possibly experience throughout your lifetime. We have a lot of information to deliver to you today, and we enjoy having you aboard and listening to us.
Yes, welcome, welcome. And Rick and I have been friends for several years, and Rick is the one who got me on the road to better health by encouraging me to get a food sensitivity test, which I did, and my life has basically changed. And so we're here to let you guys know basically what a food sensitivity is and a food allergy, where to get tests, and why you should get one.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about my background. I am a chiropractor, but my practice is primarily a wellness practice. Now, many of you listening will have immediate reaction when I say chiropractor. Some of you will be completely on board with that and have been to chiropractors. Some of you will think that chiropractic is only about neck pain and back pain. Some of you may believe that you only go to a chiropractor if you're in a sports injury or maybe a car accident and things like that. But most chiropractors, myself included, consider ourselves wellness physicians or holistic physicians and doctors, if you will. And my practice particularly deals with patients with a myriad of problems, although most patients will come in because of some type of pain, but it's not always back pain or neck pain. So we treat babies, which for some of you might be have a little difficulty understanding right at the moment, but I'll try and clear that up. And, you know, our oldest patient that I've ever treated is over 100. It's just amazing. Obviously, babies are not going to have the typical neck pain, back pain, or herniated discs that you would think of maybe going to a chiropractor for. So we see a variety of people with a variety of health conditions, anywhere from digestive disturbances to severe headaches, whether that's migraines or tension-related headaches, sinus and allergy issues, pains obviously anywhere in the body. And I became a chiropractor because of my own particular health problems since I was 12 years old. I had debilitating back pain, and none of the doctors could determine what was wrong with me, and they just told mom and dad it was growing pains and that I'd grow out of it. And you know, eventually I stopped actually getting stuck in certain positions, but I had back pain continually. That's what brought me to a chiropractor, and then eventually I became a chiropractor because of the help he had given me. And throughout my practice then, over many, many years here, we've delved into a lot of things like nutritional healing, herbal healing, that type of thing. I was always into working out and experimenting with vitamins and minerals, and in other words, nutritional supplements. And my bachelor degree is in nutrition, so just fit in naturally with my practice that I'd be looking at the other things that afflict people, and that we find when we start to clear up some of their other issues, the little neck pain and back pain starts to disappear, because it's not always just about an irritated nerve. It is about their system breaking down. We're either going to break down from physical, chemical, or emotional or mental stresses in our life, and we will have those throughout our lifetime. And so we have to try and identify where those come from.
And let me jump in and say that basically Rick is the person who diagnosed that I have a curvature of the spine or scoliosis, and that's where my migraines were coming from. And urged me to get on the path of regular chiropractic adjustments, which I did, and that eliminated my migraines. But I still had headaches that turned out to be were a food sensitivity that I didn't know about, which was why Rick urged me early on to get a food sensitivity or food allergy test. So that's kind of an example of how what you're talking about, where the aches and pains can be associated with different types of things, which is why that you focus your practice on natural health care overall and not just focusing on the chiropractic, but have the other alternative options.
That's actually correct. An interesting thing, Narissa, that you and I know is that we haven't mentioned, you live about 3.5 hours from where I do.
Right.
So, you know, I'm able to treat you occasionally, but the focus was not about what I could particularly do for you or me treating you in my practice, although I can do that occasionally, but it is the assertion that you have certain health conditions that could be eliminated or solved through chiropractic care, enhancing the nervous system, and through the food allergy testing, regardless of whether it was you coming to me or somewhere else, going somewhere else. And so I think for the listeners, what we want to emphasize is that the things that we're going to try and bring to the table for you to understand and for us to discuss and maybe educate you on is that it's not about me in particular or being able to come to my office. It's giving you options no matter where you live. The thing is that you're going to have to get through the rest of your life just like going on a cross-country trip, and how do you do that in the best possible fashion. Some of the things I might be able to help you with if you're in my area, but also we can help identify other practitioners, whether that's chiropractors or acupuncturists, massage therapists, or simply doing a test like the food allergy sensitivity test and doing that in your area and start recapturing your health.
And, oh gosh, what was I going to say? This is the thing about doing a show. It's all real.
It's all live, and you have a thought, and if I speak too long, then the thought goes out of your head. I know.
Well, you basically got me on the path of the chiropractic care and adjustments, and I went through 4 different chiropractors here in my area through various reasons. One ended up moving to another city, and another one that I left, basically I decided that their adjustments were a little more, I guess, more on the physical side than on the subtle side. And that I, you know, started figuring out that my body responds better to subtle or gentle manipulations. But someone like Joe, who's my partner, his body responds better to the more physical adjustments and things like that. So not all chiropractors are, you know, exactly the same in their treatments. And we encourage everybody to find a chiropractor that you feel comfortable with. And hopefully a chiropractor who's going to look at all aspects of your life and not just your spine, as in the case of Rick, because obviously the chiropractor adjustments alone weren't going to eliminate the symptoms I was having. And I was, can I go ahead and jump in about a little bit of my history?
Yeah, before you do, let me just clarify something for some of the people who might not understand anything about chiropractic, and right now they're maybe totally confused. An adjustment of the spine is a manipulation of the vertebrae to remove pressures on the nervous system. And the thing that everyone needs to understand is that the nervous system is the controlling and regulating system for everything in the body. If you need adrenaline pumped out, your nervous system has to tell the adrenal glands to pump that adrenaline out. And it all starts from your master control, which is the brain. And so the chiropractic adjustment is simply to facilitate proper neurological flow in the body. And if it's being impinged upon, then your body is not going to be as healthy as possible, which will lead us into, in a moment, the sensitivities and immune system response. The immune system is directly tied to the nervous system. And if your nervous system is not operating at its best possible potential, in other words, peak performance in the system, then the immune system will not function to its best capacity. And most people have a general understanding when you say immune system. I think they understand that better than they do nervous system. We know if our immune system is down, we're more susceptible to a cold, for example, or a virus. And so if you take that one step further and just align that, couple that with the nervous system, then you'll have a better understanding of why chiropractors who operate as I do in the scope of being a more a wellness practice, in that we treat that nervous system to give it its best possible function, thereby allowing your immune system to work at its highest level and be the most productive, which I think then goes right into what you wanted to talk about, Marissa.
Yeah, I wanted to share, well, first of all, the reason why I'm part of this show is because I've got the personal experience of having been healed through chiropractic and through food sensitivities, a big time with both of those. But I'm really a huge fan of the food sensitivity allergy testing because my life was dramatically changed. Now, I don't have any medical expertise, and I'm not any, you know, associated in that way with Rick at all. He's got all the medical expertise. I am just a friend of his whose life was dramatically changed and healed, basically, by getting a simple food allergy test and then following what it said. So I'll try to do this fairly quickly. In short, my history was that I had migraines, debilitating migraines that would take me out of work starting in my early to mid-20s. And basically, I met Joe and then met Rick about the time I was 32. And through meeting Joe, who introduced me to Rick, who then I decided to go ahead and try a chiropractic adjustment just for preventative reasons, which was why Joe was getting in, just to stay, you know, in alignment. There was nothing wrong or out of alignment, just to get adjusted, to make sure it's all working fine. And I'm like, okay, I'll try that. And through that first visitation, you took x-rays of my spine and came back and told me later what the x-rays had said. And that was the cause of the debilitating migraines. And I remember that you said, now, Narissa, if you're feeling this way at the age of 32 or 33, however old I was at the time, then just imagine how you're going to feel when you're 60. And I could, because I was already struggling. You know, it was already, the migraines were debilitating and were taking me away from work and affecting the quality of my life. And I would say that I probably had at that time about 2 migraines a month that were debilitating. And basically go home, turn out the lights, and, you know, try to sleep it off. And so then the other aspect of that, when I started getting regular chiropractic treatments and the migraines went away, I had was going through a stressful change in my life, relationship change, job change, residential change. And so there were a lot of factors for a lot of stress. And through that additional stress, I had gained a lot of weight, which I had gained weight and lost it, I guess, a couple of other times earlier in my life. But I gained a lot of weight, did some few bouts of depression. Basically, I started noticing that I was being affected by what I thought were pollen allergies. I would get spacey and kind of lethargic and not very active. But I also knew that I had a which I thought was a mental thing. I had a block to achievement and success because I was just kind of apathetic. Now, I thought that all this was in my head and that my, you know, everybody's got pollen allergies, but I don't want to take drugs for it. You know, I'll just suffer through. And it turns out that all of those symptoms that I thought were air allergies, the racing heart, the spaciness, the inability to concentrate, the weight, the digestive issues that I was having, the IBS, irritable bowel symptom, symptoms that I would have occasionally, my sinus headaches that I was having fairly regularly and to varying degrees, that all of those were caused by food that I was eating. And the ironic part of my story is that I had started eating foods that are idyllic, more healthy for a person.
Yeah.
So broccoli, I was eating more broccoli. I was eating more meat, according to a couple of nutritionists and doctors. And with that meat, I was eating more spices on the meat. So I was eating more spices than I ever had in my life. I was eating more broccoli. I was eating spinach salads. I was taking omega-3 made from salmon. And all of those things I'm sensitive to and didn't know it. So I basically overdosed on all these good, healthy foods that we are all encouraged to eat through the media. Soy is another one. I was trying not to eat as much meat. I felt my body was trying to tell me that I was vegetarian because I just didn't want to eat it, when it turned out it was the black pepper on the meat that I was eating and in the spices. And, you know, since I got the test and I stopped eating all the foods that I'm sensitive to, within a week, there was an obvious change in energy. And by the end of the 3 months, which is what is recommended for you to completely avoid all the foods you're sensitive to in order to reset your system, just dramatic life change. And I don't really understand how the physical health affects one's drive, but it did. So the apathetic kind of, I'm having a hard time making it. I don't know if I can do this. All that, what's another word for the drive? Your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my self-esteem came back. And, you know, I am just blown away. And now I have this whole different perspective when I look at people who are overweight. Oh, and by the way, I'll drop 20 pounds eating foods that are supposedly fattening but are okay for me.
Awesome.
Like rice and white potatoes, even pasta. I ate as much of that stuff as I could because I couldn't eat some other things I was, you know, used to eating. And I dropped 20 pounds without even trying. I didn't change my exercise routine. Oh, and that's another thing. When I was overweight and feeling bad, you know, everybody kept saying, we need to exercise to feel better. And, of course, everybody, you get that message everywhere. Well, a part of me knew that I wasn't healthy enough to exercise. And that came out in the form of, I just told people, I said, you know what, I'm not motivated to exercise at all. When I go walk the dog, I'm tired. I have to recover when I come back in. And even things like going to the grocery store, if I had to stay there for an hour, and it was a full packed grocery store, so you're like having to avoid bumping into people all the time, like just very active, I would get a headache. And so I didn't know it at the time, but that was my immune system basically being maxed out, because it was already on the verge of being maxed out, and any kind of extra stress I added would max it out, whether that was physical activity of walking the dog, or that was a stressful activity of, you know, running errands, driving around in heavy traffic, running errands for a few hours. And that stuff doesn't happen anymore. I go walk the dog, and I'm still ready to tackle some work or do some more work around the house. So I have energy that is like I haven't had since I was probably a teenager in my early 20s. I could actually work 24 hours now if I had to, and stay awake and be alert. As with before the food sensitivity test, you could have put a gun to my head and said I was, you know, going to die if I didn't stay awake, and I wouldn't have been able to stay awake. And so the change just for my food sensitivity of avoiding spinach, salmon, soy, sugar, and broccoli and black pepper has just been amazing, absolutely amazing. And that's why I'm here, to help share my story and my perspective on how I see things like all these pharmaceutical ads on television. When I see overweight people walking down the street that have huge stomachs and their feet are swollen and you can't see their bones, their ankle bones or the blood vessels, I look at them and I say, oh, my God, you need a food sensitivity test because you're killing yourself slowly and you don't even know it.
Well, you're right on with that, and your story is powerful, and through what you just said, there's a couple things that I'd like to tag on to and that I identify with. Your story is so powerful and so important, And I've noticed this in my practice, whether that's talking about chiropractic care in general or food allergies or nutritional supplementation or any number of different things that we do here to try and treat a person. And I often lecture in the community and throughout the country. I've written several books, which Narissa knows all about. And my thrust is to help people to understand in a very basic way how they can change their life. And so what I've noticed, whether I'm on a lecture circuit or whether I'm speaking in my office to my patients, I can deliver a story and I can deliver information to them, but it's not until they hear a story from someone else whose life has been changed that it really impacts them in the greatest way for them to actually take action and make the change for themselves. Couple examples.
Yeah, it's like they're looking for that part of them in the story that they can identify with for their life. And you, through your practice, you have, I mean, I have just heard tons of amazing stories of change. And I absolutely look forward to talking about them as our shows progress and we go on. But just amazing stuff, amazing transformations.
Yes, and I appreciate that comment. And so when I speak, you know what? There's a part of a person, whether it's conscious or in the subconscious, where they say to themselves, yes, but you're the doctor. You want me to come to your practice to get help. That's why you're telling me this information. When it comes from you, and they hear it from you, Narissa, that is gone. They know that you have no interest in treating them. There's no monetary gain for you to tell your story. And so there's a wall that comes down. And that's what I find very fascinating. So that if you and I are together on this call, a lot of patients or potential patients, people with health problems will say, yeah, okay, you know, it sounds interesting, Dr. Barrett, but you know what? I really like what Narissa was saying because she's more real to me than you are because you're the physician in this case. So I love that it's the power in your story, Narissa, that will come across to patients and say, you know what? That sounds like me or that sounds like my mom or that sounds like my sister. Let me see if we can get more information on that and help them.
Absolutely. And as our shows continue, then, you know, we will be bringing in people who have their own stories, and the audience will be able to hear from them as well, and I'm so excited about that, absolutely excited. You know, one thing that I don't think we've addressed yet is what is a food sensitivity?
We really haven't, and I definitely want to do that. I just want to add one other thing towards the comment that you made a minute ago.
Okay.
Was at your young age, you were having these difficulties. And really, you had identified like at 32 years of age, but really things had started for you before that. The
Absolutely.
Quality of your life is so important, and the quality of the listeners' lives are very, very important. And you also identified that one of the things that I mentioned earlier was the stresses in your life, whether the physical, chemical, or mental stresses. These will be with us forever. And so we can only build our body up to fight these stresses that attack our nervous system, that attack our immune system, and all the other physiological systems in the body. Food allergies and food sensitivities are a little bit different, and there's a fine line that I want to define for people. We have.
You mean the difference between an allergy and a sensitivity?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
When you take a food, and you mentioned this, you were eating some foods that doctors had told you to eat or just through your general research or what you might have heard on the news, what have you, we identified foods that we think are good for us. And generally, as human beings, we can say that a classification of vegetables and meats and dairy and whatever are healthy for us. In other words, they're not poisonous to us. And that's much better to eat than refined foods, right?
Yes.
But for some people, those foods act as foreign invaders. They do act as poisons to the body for certain people. Now, most adults can identify with a allergy and say, you know, if I eat pepperoni, I break out in hives or my tongue swells, my throat closes up. They can identify that immediate reaction. That is a a food allergy, and that allergy can occur within 8 hours. So most people will walk around and say, you know what, I don't have any allergies. I'm fine. I'm totally okay.
Well, which is why I ignored your advice for years.
That's exactly right. You did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
And even though
I don't have
each other, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I was thinking to myself, well, I don't have any food allergies, you know.
Exactly.
I'm totally fine with, I can eat anything.
You can eat anything. Mm-hmm. And that's what most people believe, because they haven't really been taught this before, and that's okay. It's not that they're ignorant, it's just that they haven't been taught it. So we now have to teach people, and that's really the purpose of this call. So you ignored my advice for years, because even though you knew me as a friend and we socialize, even though you knew some of the successes that we have in our office, you were sort of in this denial phase that said, well, I'm fine. I don't have any of these problems. But the reality is you did, and the difference is that it's not a full-blown allergy where you identify something immediately as a reaction. A sensitivity can occur up to 3 days later, and you don't know that you're having symptoms based on a food, and you don't identify a particular food. And typically it's the foods that we eat a lot of, or maybe in excess, maybe the foods that we're drawn to. So if you like, for example, Mexican food you have, you know, cheese and bean burritos all the time, there's a likelihood that you could develop a sensitivity to those foods. So that's the big difference that you have to understand, is that sensitivities can be up to 3 days later and not identifying the food. And you can have a host of symptoms, and Narissa, you identified a lot of them in you. And some of it might be for other people, might be nausea or vomiting. And let's say you had corn today, 3 days from now, you're having nausea and you're vomiting. And you think, well, I'm just getting the flu, or I'm just getting this infection, and you don't identify that it was the corn that you ate 3 days ago.
Absolutely.
Perhaps you didn't even eat corn, and it's in other foods. In other words, it's a filler. Like corn is used as a filler in ketchup and bubble gum. So you might not even know it.
Oh, there's so much I want to jump in and add to, but the things that I have learned real quickly is that, because we've got about 3 more minutes, I think, for this show.
Oh, well, we need another hour or two for sure.
I know there's so much to talk about. Since I'm sensitive to broccoli and spinach and they make me spacey and affect my ability to concentrate, another person who has a sensitivity to broccoli or spinach may affect them differently. They may get IBS symptoms or, you know, digestive problems, correct?
That's very correct, yeah.
So everybody's food sensitivity affects them differently, or could affect them differently. I get a headache, not a migraine, but I get a headache if I eat cow milk product. But I get that headache 2.5 days later. I actually had pizza with just a little bit of cheddar cheese. I didn't think it would affect me, and this was like after my 3-month abstinence basically from all the foods. I ate 2 slices of those pizza about 4 p.m. one day, and then I ate another couple slices like around 10 p.m. that same day.
Mm-hmm.
Would you believe it? 2.5 days later from the 4 p.m., I got a little bit of a headache that lasted for about 2 or 3 hours, and then I didn't have a headache for about an hour, and then I got another headache that lasted for 2 or 3 hours. Now, I think that's a pretty clear cut. You know, I get the headaches from the cow's milk. And
powerful, because you wouldn't have known that years ago.
No, I would have never put that together. I mean, we are so conditioned that allergies have gotten so bad for our generation, and they're like all pollen, air pollen.
Right.
I don't have any air pollen allergies at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Every time my nose runs, it's because I ate some bread, some yeast bread. Every time my sinuses start draining, it's because I ate the soy. And, you know, every time I have what is traditionally an air allergy symptom, I can track it back to food by looking at my food log. And so much to talk about. We've got about 1 minute left, so I'll hand it back to you.
Well, yeah, I think what we're going to have to do is a continuation, obviously, of the call so that we can have people understand a little bit more and how to get the testing that they need to get. I guess one of the last things that I would like to say is that the more we can learn about our bodies, we're in a fantastic age of having some great tools available to all of us very easily, readily available, and relatively inexpensive. And I think some of the best things you can do are to find out as much about your body as possible. We can identify that on the next call, but we're going to eat every day for the rest of our life. So we're going to eat several times a day, and we all know that. Why not identify the foods that might be potentially hazardous to us? It's a very simple thing to do. We're going to be better going into the future. We're going to have a healthier life. Simple, as I said, to get done at most doctor's offices. It is just, you can't live in denial. You have to know as much about your body as possible so you can go forward. And the simple foods that we eat every day are affecting us in such a negative and profoundly negative way, and it's simple to eradicate.
And one last quick question. Does everybody have food sensitivities?
Wow. I don't know that that's a quick answer to that question.
Oh, okay.
But I would I would venture to guess that most people will have some level of sensitivity, and there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm just going to throw out a term that's happening or being used a lot now. It's called hygiene hypothesis. And the hygiene hypothesis, stated real simply, means that we are trying to insulate ourselves so much, keep everything so clean, that we're developing, that's one of the hypotheses about why we're developing so many different allergies and sensitivities. So I'd have to say that yes, across the board, what I've seen with every patient that I've ever performed a food allergy test on, there are some levels of sensitivities. And though we don't have time to go into it now, there's a number rating scale, a scoring system that shows you, for example, I have a report on my desk right now for a patient where she's a 0.166 as far as apples, and on wheat, she's a 0.907. So you can see the great disparity in the numbers there. So the higher the number, the more sensitive a person is. So yes, the simple answer is I think we'll find sensitivities on many, many people, probably the majority of people. It's just at what level of sensitivity do they have? And then if they combine some of their sensitive foods, how much of a reaction could they have based on that? In other words, if you were at a buffet table and you have 12 things on the buffet table that you're sensitive to, they may all be low numbers on the score, but adding those all together and eating all together can create quite a problem, as much as even going into a grand mal seizure. So it can affect you profoundly.
As I found out firsthand.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I overdosed on all of my food sensitivity items. And if I would have known about them beforehand, I wouldn't have done that. Well, I think it's been a great first show. And let us invite the audience to listen to our next show and continue on with us on this trip of education and exploration into the world of food sensitivities, food allergies, and better health.
Yeah, and better health and whatever other concerns that people have that we might be able to provide some answers for, or at least a little bit of help to go down another avenue to do a little bit more research and to get as healthy as possible. So I've had a wonderful time discussing this topic, and I look forward to our next conversation and any comments from any of the listeners.
All right. So we'll see you guys next time.
We'll see you
Have
next
a great
time.
Day.